Support for the Capital Connection comes from
United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org. And New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Gerard Jerry Kassar, chairman of the Conservative Party of New York. You can find out more at cpnys.org. Let me do that again, cpnys.org. Jerry, welcome back. Always great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's always good to be on.
Well, congratulations are in order. Of course, on September 25th, you were unanimously reelected as chairman of the New York State Conservative Party, a third two-year term for you. So what are your goals in going forward? How are you going to make New York more conservative?
Well, I think for political parties, two things abound. I mean, first, it's always the election cycle. And this particular year, we've got a lot going with the election cycle since just about everything is up. And then obviously, beyond the election cycles, we do get involved in issues and organizing and, you know, bringing in, you know, new membership. So, I mean, right now, completely focused on the November 8th elections from governor on down. And, I mean, my opinion is we'll have anywhere from a good year to a great year.
Well, of course, we could sort of, I don't want to be snarky about it, but we could expect you to say that. But what's the evidence that you're going to have a good to a great year as the Conservative Party in blue state New York?
Well, it is certainly a blue state, but my view is that issues such as crime and inflation primarily, but there are a slew of issues, but, you know, there's issues relating to education, there are just issues relating to very liberal and expensive social programs. That we believe are bringing voters back our way, maybe not forever, but in this particular cycle, and we think we will benefit from that. I mean, let me just give you for an example. As much as, Siena comes out with a poll that shows Zeldin down by quite a few points, I have the privilege of seeing an enormous amount of local polling on state Senate and congressional and state assembly races. I mean, I see so much polling, none of it reflects what Siena is saying, not even close. I believe that race is, as the Zeldin people are indicating, a race that's within the margin of error, about 5.8 8%, 6%. And on state Senate races, I mean, the Democrats will tell you they expect us to gain seats. Assembly, too. I mean, there's a, just a general view that we will have a good year. How good a year? Well, that's for people like me to try to make it the best year possible.
But when you compare what the average New Yorker thinks about things, you certainly don't claim that New Yorkers are becoming more conservative, do you?
No, not really. I would claim that... you know, if you, it's almost like two lines on a chart often merge.
Yeah.
And this particular year, there is merging of what we consider a high priority, which is, you know, crime and inflation, with what the general public does. I mean, there could be years where we're saying pretty much the same thing, but it's not what the people are thinking. I don't really run the Conservative Party to move around the issue table. We are kind. I mean, we may have emphasis, prioritizations, but we are what you see is kind of what you get. And this particular year, what you see with the conservative movement and the Conservative Party does seem to be more in line what people are thinking in New York State. I would suggest to you, which really corresponds with what you're saying, that, you know, I don't think I'm seeing an avalanche of philosophical change here. I just think what I am seeing is that lots of people that might be more to the middle are saying to themselves, crime and inflation are a big concern this year.
Now,
I'm going to take advantage of it, or I can take advantage of.
Now, the Republicans, of course, are, you know, emphasizing people's fears like crime and inflation, as you just put it. How successful will that be? I mean, you know, is there any evidence at all that that's going to work for them?
Well, I mean, I think there is evidence because there is inflation and there is crime, particularly downstate on the crime. I mean, yeah, I mean, in Albany, too. I mean, I spend, as you know, I've spent an enormous amount of time in the Albany area and have for decades. I mean, big city crime is a problem because it has a certain chaos to it. Not to suggest to you that organized crime is a good thing, but I'm saying to you that the chaos of current crime is such that you do fear. As far as inflation is concerned, inflation really, you know, somebody might want to say to you, well, gas prices are going down. Well, they're still a lot higher than they were. But, you know, your attitude may be gas prices are going down, but the price of bacon and eggs is not going down. And those are weekly reminders, right? I mean, I do a lot of the household shopping. I shop once a week, and I feel it when I shop. We are not, you know, not buying certain things. We haven't stopped buying certain things, but when I walk out of a shop paying, you know, $125 where I used to pay $100, you know, and I can remember that, you know, that's a problem. Look, often general attitudes shift as years go by because people just become immune to what they had been feeling. But right now we are in a very emotional period relating to inflation.
We are talking to Jerry Kasar, chairman of the Conservative Party of New York. Jerry, let's talk about a little bit about the Conservative Party. We're not exactly talking the major party in New York State. So what's the Conservative Party's philosophy of government? Where are you going? What are you trying to do? How many people are members of your party?
Membership is about 150,000. Our average annual vote is between 250,000 and 300,000. So, I mean, clearly some people are choosing to vote on the conservative line as a default from a different political party.
Meaning the Republicans.
It could be. It could be some independents, too, blanks. I mean, libertarian-oriented people, that political party has disappeared. But basically, we end up getting, in the vicinity of twice our enrollment. But what are we about? We are more about, in my view, discussing issues that attempts to push elected officials and candidates more to the right. We would be more. I would suggest to you the pendulum that we swing probably goes over further to the right than we anticipate our elected officials to go. But it is my view that you push a little harder and then you accept a relative, somewhat of a, you know, push back a little bit so that you get the best scenario you can, and that's my how I look at this from a realistic perspective. Unfortunately, from our perspective, we do not control any levers of state government. I mean, we do control or have major roles in a lot of local governments, you know, certainly in the counties,
sure,
like, you know, Nassau, for example, or Rockland. But I would say to you that our state government is crucial around two things this year. The Senate Republicans getting out from under a supermajority, and I do think they'll pick up enough seats to comfortably accomplish that, and the election of a governor, where I feel that we, as I've indicated earlier, are very much in the mix.
Okay, I have lots of questions on that and a lot more, but let me ask you this, Jerry. Has the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade hurting and going to hurt the election chances of Republicans in New York and nationwide?
I mean, let me make this clear. The Conservative Party and people like myself had been pushing for that for many years, so I will not downplay a victory by indicating that it has a downside, since it was a major victory for us. However,
Stop. Just let me make sure that our listeners get this. So the chairman of the Conservative Party is basically saying Roe v. Wade is not really all that important, right? Or am I?
No. Very important. I mean, for me, it was very important, and the party that the decision came down the way it did. But I want to suggest this to you. Where this election comes out is going to be based, like all elections, on what people think are the most important election issues when they absentee vote, early vote, or come in on November 8th. I'm of the view that although you can show polling, particularly in New York, that says that this is a fairly significant pro-choice state, you have other issues that are a higher priority additionally. And this would come out of my view, and I think the party's view. You have the ability to push back in New York State on this state's positioning on abortion, because this state is an extreme state on abortion. No one should call anti-abortion people extremists in this state when you have a government that came up with a 9-month abortion law. When you have a government here that basically allows, you know, it says to doctors, it should not be your priority to save the life of an aborted child born alive. There are that is the extremism of New York State government, and that would be the points I would make, because I'm not anticipating New York State really reversing. I just think New York State has already gone too far.
You do know, of course, that there will be people listening to this radio program who will deeply resent what you just said.
Yeah. I would hope so, because I do not claim to represent all the views of every listener. I claim to, or I hope to believe that I represent, pro-life people that in New York State just feel that there is a certain insanity to New York State government. I mean, New York State government, the governor, the former governor, they applauded these extreme laws. As far as Roe v. Wade was concerned, I mean, it sent it back to the states. I don't think any New Yorker should believe that in sending it back to New York State, we were doing the pro-life movement any big favors. I think the Roe v. Wade decision has got a much larger context to it, as it applies to many other states and a federalism, you know, versus states' rights argument.
We're talking to Jerry Kasar, who is the chairman of the Conservative Party in New York. You can find out more about the Conservative Party at cpnys.org. Jerry, he's back. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is returning, according to the major papers, to the public sphere with a number of personal projects, including weekly podcasts and a political action committee. Cuomo says his podcast will focus on providing the, quote, actual facts to the public. Cuomo also plans to create what he calls the Gun Safe America Project to help combat gun violence. Earlier in this month, Cuomo filed an ethics complaint against State Attorney General Tish James, calling her 2021 investigation into sexual harassment allegations against him politically motivated. Well, what are you thinking about Andrew Cuomo these days?
I think one of the most vindictive men in America has enough money to create a platform which most people are going to laugh at when he expresses himself. I heard it from one of the victims this morning on radio saying that we'd all be better off if he spent more time in his garage tinkering with his motorcycles. I agree with that assessment.
Well, of course, he does like cars, no question about it. I've interviewed
him. Nothing wrong with that, but let him play with them.
I've done that a number of times. How would you compare Andrew, as long as we're on this, with his father Mario?
I would compare him very differently, and that Mario was a very thoughtful, philosophical liberal that I would disagree with. I think, and sometimes that intersected with his, you know, with politics. I would say his son is politics 24/7, and you know, was a bully type of an elected official, which, you know, I did know his father, but I was certainly a young man in politics at the time. But I took his father, you know, to be a guy who goes to Notre Dame and gives a speech that people are going to discuss for years to come. With Andrew Cuomo, he is. I can't even imagine him showing up at Notre Dame and giving a speech.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I asked you to compare him to Mario. What about comparing Kathy Hochul, the governor?
I mean, Kathy Hochul is essentially a clubhouse politician out of the Western New York who managed to, through a variety of coincidences, end up as governor. She shows, in my view, I mean, I totally disagreed with Andrew Cuomo on many things. And I did feel he was a bully, but he certainly created programmatic ideas that were, that showed a level of leadership, even if he had, you know, a backdoor way of trying to, you know, make it for his own personal use. She is just basically floating around the halls of government, trying to figure out the best way to stay in office. Shows very little leadership. Actually, is shockingly corrupt as it relates to the stuff we've recently seen concerning this COVID money, and so in my view she was chosen to be lieutenant governor to never be heard from. Of course, of Andrew Cuomo's activities, she ended up becoming governor, but she still is essentially that person that he chose that would be best never heard from, and that was what he thought of her, and I think that's the type of leadership she's been showing. No leadership at all in this state.
Don't you think there'll be people out there listening to this who think that, you know, we have a woman who has achieved high political office and that you conservatives are being kind of hard on
her? I mean, the conservative movement, the conservative party has always been major proponents of women and holding public office. I mean, Barbara Keating, one of our early candidates for U.S. Senate, and a candidate who received almost 1 million votes, was the first major female candidate to run for statewide office in New York State, as well as many elected officials we have now. So, I mean, people want to make assumptions relating to the conservative or conservative movement that fit their own view of the world. I cannot stop that. I can't, you know, I can argue I'm blue in the face. I could talk about Claudia Tenney or Nicole Malliotakis or many others. And, you know, I will find that people just simply don't want to listen to me. But I accept that there will be criticism of the conservative movement simply because we are not falling, you know, lock, stock, and barrel in line with what some people in New York State think is the direction the government should be going.
Hey, you got any reaction to the report that religious schools in New York funded with public dollars teach little public education?
Yeah, I do have a reaction. So I certainly would not want to see, if that was a reality, it's a report, but if that was a reality, I would be a little more concerned, whereas I do believe the reality is that what that report is essentially doing is trying to stifle, once again, parental decision-making in the education of children. Those yeshivas have argued back pretty significantly and substantially that in attempting to reflect cultural views, that they do not necessarily operate completely within the realm of what New York State Education Department believes should be their curriculum. But what I would simply say back is that they deny the essence of the report, and they also make a good point that parents are heavily involved in yeshiva education, and that seems to be completely lost on the report. So, you know, if the report was absolutely accurate, I would then maybe shift my view, but I generally believe that, I strongly believe that a yeshiva education is considered one of the gold standards of education in this state.
Do you think the state should, in fact, tell private schools through their Board of Regents or any other way what to teach?
Well, I think there has to be a generalized outline. You know, I mean, I think the state does have a role in education policy. I don't know if I reflect all conservatives. I do support homeschooling quite strongly. But even there, I do believe there has to be standards. But this goes way beyond what I would consider, standards and marks that, you know, people have to, maintain as they, you know, report what they are educating. I just think this goes way, way too far.
Let me ask you this. What do you make of Florida's Governor DeSantis sending migrants to Martha's Vineyard? Isn't that playing with people's lives, including lying to them about where they're going?
Well, I will say this. I mean, they broke the law and come into this country. Everybody cannot possibly be claiming asylum. You can't have 600,000 people on a given day claiming asylum. It's silly. It's wrong. So he is reacting as a governor in a country that has 50 sovereign states, which sometimes we forget are almost the equivalent of a federal government. He made a decision that related to his responsibility concerning that state. I would certainly not suggest sending them to Martha's Vineyard was sending them into some sort of hole somewhere. I mean, he made a strong point, got a lot of people's attention, and he did what was best for his responsibility. He is not responsible for Connecticut, Wyoming, or South Carolina. He is responsible for his state, and he made a point. And it's in my general view is that the migrants that have crossed the border illegally should certainly be treated very decently, but I really here cannot see where they were not treated well by everyone who touched them along the way.
Let's talk a little bit, if we can. We're running out of time. We've got about 6 minutes left. Let me talk to you about farm labor. There'll be people yawning outside, but this is a pretty important subject. It's a big issue upstate. Statement from from you, quote, New York family farms and their employees will suffer a serious economic blow, and thanks to a short-sighted, that's you, decision by the Democratic-controlled Farm Laborers Wage Board. Explain.
Well, thankfully, there's still an opportunity here for this not to go forward, and I do think if Zeldin's elected governor, it will not go forward. So basically, what's going to happen here, since these family farms to exist are going to need to actually harvest their crops and produce their products, these are not agro gigantic businesses that you see, that are producing $1 billion worth of product a year. These are relatively small businesses. They are going to need, since they cannot possibly afford to pay overtime under this rule, they are going to need to double up on their staffing. Now, the problem with double up on your staffing is that you now have an enormous number of additional New York State government sort of issues, whether it be unemployment taxes, workers' comp, other insurance-related issues. So they're going to have to hire more people to stay away from the overtime issue, which they cannot possibly afford in the scenario that this board is doing. And since many of these businesses operate close to the edge, and when we're talking the smaller family farm or the smaller family dairy, this is going to, in my view, cause a number of them to have to close down operations and sell. And simply sell. I'm not suggesting to you the land is going to end up being a park or a wilderness, but they're going to have to sell to one of these larger businesses, and that is not good for the state of New York. You want the family farm, and you want the hereditary nature and the legacy of those family farms. And this can do nothing other than hurt. And in some cases, the end results, since some will close, and these bigger operations do not employ as many people per acre, you will end up having less employment and less of the landscape that New Yorkers believe their state should have with these smaller farms. And prices also will probably be negatively impacted.
Okay, I want to go quickly because we only got 3 minutes left. Columbus Day is coming soon. You've spoken out on this. In a press release, you say woke politicians in New York love nothing more than virtue signaling. And they're at it again this week in trying to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. Talk about an empty gesture. If Assemblyman Metanez and Senator Ramos truly want to make amends for this American history they despise, they submit legislation to return the state to Native Americans, starting with their own property. What do you say?
Well, I think we were trying to definitely push it back in their faces for being so ignorant in their attempt to make a point. And the conservative movement, clearly, I mean, I in particular, I certainly have no problem with honoring indigenous natives, particularly in a state like New York. But why do it on Columbus Day unless you were looking to essentially eradicate that piece of history? I mean, and that seems to be what some of the wonk elected officials are doing. They are insulting Italians and Hispanics in many cases, particularly Spaniards, that are that have considered Columbus, who through his bravery, you know, his courage, his thoughtful process, was able to, at that period of time, do something that no one else had been able to do. I mean, he reflects an important aspect of American culture and history. I mean, all they were really doing here was poking somebody in the eye. And enough of this, just enough of this stuff. I mean, I could tell you if they came up with something that was a little different, I would have probably done a release, as long as it didn't have anything to do with Columbus Day, saying it was a good idea.
You've been listening to The Capital Connection this week with Gerard Jerry Kasar, chairman of the New York State Conservative Party. I'm Alan Chartok.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you very much.